to the old me, scared and unseen. You're the reason I built this dream. Now I speak so others thrive. Turn my scars into sound. I come alive from the ashes of the breakdown. I don't run, I rise, won't back down. This is keep it real, keep it purpose bound. Every word a step, every truth profound. We don't heal in silence, we fight with grace, softness and defiance, lighting up this place.
Welcome, welcome, welcome. This is Keeping It Real on Purpose, and I am your host, Edna White. Thank you for being here, and I'm glad that you took the time today to stop in to listen to us. This is the place for an in-depth conversation about your life, purpose, and your personal wellness in every aspect of your life. We talk about real life issues to develop life, relationships, and your business on purpose. We keep it real. Today on the show, we're excited to have Sheila Kelly, the director of the Big Yes Center for Transformation. We'd like to welcome you to today's episode. Welcome, Sheila. How are you today?
I am really, really well, Edna. Thank you for asking.
Good.
How are you today?
I am doing terrific. Now, of course, you know I'm going to ask you about the big yes. Because when you say the big yes, I think about the big bang. So tell me, how did the big yes just come into existence?
Oh, what a great question. You know, not too many people ask that question, so I really appreciate that. And it came to me about 10 years ago.
Okay.
I was in this place where I was feeling, okay, what's next in my life? What's next in my coaching business?
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, as I often do, before I got into bed that one night, I just asked my mind to consider what's next for me. And when I woke up in the morning, mm-hmm. The words, the big yes, were there.
Wow.
So being an entrepreneur, I immediately went on to see if that URL was taken,
mm-hmm.
and it wasn't, which really surprised me. So I registered thebigyes.com. I really didn't know what the big yes was all about.
Right. Mm-hmm.
But it took, I don't know, a couple of years before I translated into yes is your enlightened self.
Ah, that's good.
Yes. And the small yes is your ego self.
Right.
And those are the two aspects of the mind that make sense to me, that we have two aspects that are available to us in any moment. We're either tapping into the shenanigans of the ego,
mm-hmm.
which are largely based in fear,
right,
or we're tapping into the wisdom of our enlightened self, higher self, sage, whatever what we want to call it.
Right.
So that's the origin of the big yes.
Okay. So, audience, I want you to hashtag yes. And then put Sheila Kelly right up behind it. I love it. Hashtag Sheila Kelly. Okay? All right? Because I like that. I like that, the big yes and the little yes. I like that. I want to talk about sage.
Mm.
Let's talk about, like, what that means. Because that's the first time I've ever heard that. That, I guess, I don't know if it's an acronym, but that phrase. Talk about sage with us.
The word sage came, I use it because as the result of some training I just actually completed around positive intelligence. Mm-hmm. And positive intelligence was developed by a man named, I have trouble with his name, but Shirzad Shaman.
Uh-huh.
And Shirzad actually headed a huge international coaching company for many years. And he determined that the way we're doing coaching, and I've been a coach myself for over 20 years, the way we're doing coaching hasn't changed in 20 years. So he established that we have an aspect in our brain, which he calls the sage, which is the right-hand side of our brain.
Mm-hmm.
I think most of us have heard of left brain, right brain. And neuroscience actually has proven that that when we meditate, for example, and I believe that you meditate, Edna.
Yes.
It strengthens our right brain where the sage lives, where our higher self lives, where we have perfect calm, perfect peace.
Mm-hmm.
And his work is around strengthening the sage muscle and weakening the left brain, which is where the saboteurs live.
Right.
And he has done research and analysis and determined that there are 10 saboteurs, and we all have them. None of us is immune to having saboteurs, and they are the aspect of ourselves that sabotage our effectiveness,
right.
our wellness, our relationships,
oh, yeah.
our productivity, our performance.
Mm-hmm.
I often kind of joke, you know, I don't know if you remember Flip Wilson. He used to do a skit called The Devil Made Me Do It. So it's like those little saboteurs can show up and destroy our best intentions and our best plans, because it's like, what was I thinking? You know, I've done everything I thought was right, and then, man, I messed
right.
it up.
Right.
I messed it up again.
Mm-hmm.
So the sage power is the wisdom power.
Okay.
And it's connecting to that aspect of ourselves that knows better
mm-hmm.
than our saboteurs do.
Okay.
Does that make sense?
Oh, absolutely does make sense. Can you give us, you said there were like 10 saboteurs?
Yes.
Can you give
saboteurs.
Can you give that the list of those?
I sure can. The big saboteur that everybody can relate to, I think, is the judge.
Mm-hmm.
And the judge is always, it's the inner critic. It's always judging us.
Right.
And it's the source of self-doubt, guilt, shame, stress. And it's also the judge of other people's.
Mm-hmm.
You know, I often use the word should. The judge is the shoulder. You should do this, you shouldn't do that.
Right.
And I often say, stop shoulding on yourself. Because that's the judge.
Love it.
And the third thing the judge does is it judges our circumstances.
Right.
And it tells you, no matter where you are, what you're doing, it's not enough.
Mm-hmm.
You're not enough. You'll be happy when this happens. You get move away, you get your degree, you get promoted, whatever.
Right.
So the judge is always dangling the carrot that
right.
something's better.
Yeah.
And if you could just achieve that something better, you would be happy.
Right.
When we're in sage mode, sage says you can be happy now.
Yes,
you can be
that's
happy
right.
no matter
yes,
what.
Yes, that's right.
Yeah, it doesn't mean you can't change things.
Exactly.
But you can be happy now.
Exactly. No matter what the circumstances, you always are able to kind of see the better side, even though you're going
yeah.
through challenging times, you know?
Yes, exactly. And it's a skill set.
It is.
You know,
it is.
Pardon?
I said, it is. It's really a skill set. It's something you have to deliberately learn how to do.
Yes, I certainly had to learn how to do it.
Yeah.
And because I was completely in the grip of my saboteurs for the greater part of my life.
Mm-hmm. As most of us.
Yes. And, you know, the saboteur doesn't go away. And that's why it's so important that we practice and go to the gym that lives in our mind,
mm-hmm.
and practice connecting with the sage and weakening our internal saboteurs.
So when you say the gym, explain that part, because I'm sure the audience is saying, gym? I'll be there every day.
Exactly. Well, that's another great question. Let's liken it to physical exercise. For example, we decide that we're going to strengthen our physical muscles. We want to lose weight or whatever. So we don't go to the gym once and lift a few barbells and expect immediate results.
Mm-hmm.
Well, the mind is the same. The mind needs to be trained, as I mentioned earlier. And the way we train it is to visit it regularly and pay attention. It's really important. I heard a statistic that we think 65,000 thoughts a day.
Wow.
And most of them are the same thoughts we thought yesterday and the day before that and the day before that. And when you think about it, they're not really even our thoughts.
Right.
They're thoughts that we've learned as children.
Mm-hmm.
And they're just...
They're nothing new.
Nothing new. It's like what our parents taught us,
yes.
what our elders taught us, what our ministers and priests taught us.
Oh my goodness, so imperative to say that.
Yes. So... unless we're aware of what we're thinking,
mm-hmm.
we get stuck in the old paradigm, and we get stuck in doing the same things over and over and over again,
right.
and expecting different results.
Right.
The definition of insanity.
Right.
So when we talk about going to the gym of the mind,
mm-hmm.
it's about paying attention to the mind, noticing the saboteurs, noticing the thoughts and the emotions and the feelings that we're experiencing in any moment,
mm-hmm.
and actually using some exercises that we can use anytime, anywhere, that remind us to activate our sage power.
Wow.
And, you know, it's based really on neuroscience.
Sure.
So very quickly, one little exercise is just to rub two fingers of the hand together,
mm-hmm.
and really focus on what you're feeling, and, you know, exquisitely notice the little ridges of our fingers.
Oh, yeah.
And we can do that sitting at a meeting, you mm-hmm. know, and nobody will probably notice that we're... So it's about refocusing
right.
and sending a signal to the brain that, okay, I'm connecting to my sage now.
Right.
I'm going to calm down my mind, weaken my saboteurs, and proceed from there. It's really cool.
Oh, yeah, that's great. That's almost on the premise of stress balls, you know?
Yes.
But you're using your body and you're becoming more aware of your body. My first awareness, I would say, and slowing down my saboteurs was literally washing dishes. Washing dishes and literally feeling how the soap felt, what I felt on the with the towel on the plate, literally being attentive in the moment. That was, and I love this exercise. So I'm going to recommend this for exercise everywhere. I love the idea of exercise, that exercise with rubbing the fingers. It's total awareness and it brings you back, just like breathing, the meditations, just like breathing, brings you back to yourself, calms you down.
Yes.
Brings you.
And shifting focus.
That's exactly
shifting
right.
Shifting focus away from the negative self-talk.
Exactly.
The emotions that are keeping us in a certain pattern.
Right.
And speaking of breathing, another quick exercise is to actually breathe in and breathe out, but notice the temperature of the air as you breathe in.
Oh, good.
And then notice the temperature of the air as you breathe
That's
out.
Good. That's
and
good.
And again, it switches our attention, our focus away from the saboteurs and into a different frame of mind.
That's great. Yeah, I've never thought about the temperature, but I've thought of the velocity, like how am I in my breathing out slowly, you know, noticing how the rhythm of the breathing coming out, you know, I'm focused on that. So that's another great one. I love that. The temperature awareness. I love that. Excellent. So out of all of this that you are now learning, how are you applying this to your own business with the big yes? How are you applying this to that, to your center for transformation?
I'm helping people now with difficult conversations. Because I think that's an arena where the saboteurs really raise their head. And unless we understand what saboteur is showing up in any given moment, we're not conscious. And we, again, step into old patterns.
Right.
And so if we enter a difficult conversation and the saboteurs are in charge, then what's going to happen is you're probably going to trigger the saboteur in the other person.
Okay.
And that's a recipe for disaster because I'm coming in guns a-blazing, shooting all over you, and that's only going to trigger your saboteur and, you know, possibly you, unless you're really mature, you're going to get defensive and you're going to dig in your heels.
Yes, absolutely. And that's with anything, you know, that's with anything that, you know, whether it be conscious or subconscious. So that's a very good thing to really talk about. Keep those difficult conversations in the forefront because it's important. Let's switch the shift a little bit and talk about one of your books called The Love Lessons from My Son. A Mother's Journey Through a Teen's Cancer. Can you give us some, just a little bit of a summary of what that is about? And maybe we can talk about that.
Well, my son was diagnosed with Hodgkin's lymphoma when he was 17 years old.
Okay.
And we got the diagnosis on Valentine's Day. And you know, that was a love lesson in itself, because on a day dedicated to love, I feel we were really called to step forward and do whatever we could to extend love and save our son's life.
Right.
The doctor didn't tell us at the time, but he had a tumor in his chest the size of a football.
Oh, wow.
Yes, and I'm glad I didn't know, because as fearful as I was, I think if I had known that, I might have really, really, really lost it.
Right.
But I was a Course in Miracles student at the time, and I was actually teaching Course in Miracles group, and I took all the tools that I could from my spiritual toolbox, and I used them to take care of myself so that I could take care of my son.
Right.
And one of the, I won't go into the long story, but it's outlined in the book. And I've shared it with many groups over the years. Excuse me.
Sure.
But I, you know, through serendipitous events, I ended up at a workshop called Healing the Hurt Within. The same day that my son was having his first chemotherapy. And I was literally a mess. And the man who organized the workshop and facilitated the workshop actually led me through an exercise of forgiveness where I looked at my own guilt. I was, you know, I don't know if you're a mother or not. But
oh, yeah, I'm a mom. I get it.
Mother's guilt is real.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah, so it's like, what did I do?
Mm-hmm.
You know, this is my fault.
Right.
This was my subconscious belief showing up.
Sure.
It was my fault that my son was sick, and I was blaming myself at some level.
Right.
And through this exercise of forgiveness, I realized, first of all, that I had a lot of self-hatred. The facilitator asked us to look at each other, look at somebody in the eye and say, okay. I hate you.
Oh, wow.
And we were like, we can't do that.
Wow.
We're all spiritual. We love each other.
Right.
But I looked into this woman's eyes. I didn't know her. I knew everybody in the group, but I didn't know this woman. She had black hair, I remember, and she was dressed in black. I looked her in the eye and I said, I hate you. And I just broke down in tears because I realized she was holding up a mirror and showing me that I hated myself.
Oh, wow.
So that was unbelievable in
That's
and
good.
Of itself. And then to go through this forgiveness exercise was even more powerful. And again, getting back to saboteurs, it's my saboteur that's telling me that it's my fault. It's my saboteur telling me that I'm a bad mother. It's my saboteur saying, you know, you could do a lot better than
right,
this.
Right, right.
Long story short, I returned to my son's hospital room after the workshop, and his crusty doctor was standing there. And he looked at my son, and for the first time, we heard words of encouragement. He said, the doctor said, I've got a good feeling about you. And because I think of the process I've been through, my son looked better. He seemed brighter. So my whole perception of his illness changed. And happily, he is alive and well, and he has three children.
Wonderful.
And I'm a grandmother now, which I never expected to be. So, so the love lesson was, you know, one of them was use medicine, call on God, you know. Don't throw the baby out with the bathwater by neglecting the medical help that's available, but also call on all the spiritual tools that I had in my toolbox. And that was one of them, to forgive myself.
Wow, that's great. Well, audience, that is some good information from our guest today, Sheila Kelly. It's really good. And we want to hashtag forgive yourself, forgive yourself. And that's some really good information and an exercise that our audience can use, and under the instruction of like coaches like myself or you, Sheila, to really transform into the person that you want to be and be able to use those tools, because we all are born with them. We just don't know what they're for. We don't know how to use them. And that's when it comes into getting in there and really digging deep into your inner self and working on yourself. How can I make this situation so I can see better? Even though you may not make the situation better, what's the lesson in it for me? And Sheila, you brought that out perfectly. I love it. Love it, love it, love it. Now we're on the second part of the show, and this is great information, audience. And now we want to get to know you, Sheila, as a person, because we got to know what you do and your excellence and your expertise in this field. So now we're going to talk about you personally. And this is where we ask you fun questions about yourself, and you can give us fun answers. Okay, so Sheila, what is your favorite color?
My favorite color is blue.
Oh, audience, I think I know that because my wheels are spinning too. I'm trying to figure out what her color was. So, you know, I wonder how many came up with the answer.
Did you come up with blue?
No, I was thinking pink.
Oh. Well, I know we had the cameras on, and you probably saw my big picture in the background.
No, I just looked at you and said, oh, maybe she loves pink. I don't know. I was thinking pink.
Yeah, pink's a nice color.
It is. But yours is, your favorite is pink. Okay. Very good. Okay, so if you had a billboard where you are right now, and you could write anything on it to encourage, to do whatever, what would it say and why?
From mindless tasks to industrial-grade AI to ease of mind, supercharge your transformation with industrial AI. Transform the everyday with Siemens.
Billboard. I'm laughing because you want it to be fun. And if we have time, I'll tell you a little story.
Uh-huh.
And again, this is a story that's been told many times, but the night my husband and I got married, we left the reception and it was still fairly early, and mm-hmm. we pulled into a drive-through restaurant to get a little snack. Mm-hmm. And, you know, in those days, the car was all decorated, just married, all of those sorts of things. And a big yellow Cadillac pulled up beside us.
Mm-hmm.
And a man got out. He was smoking a cigar. He had, you know, a big gold chain on, and he came over to my husband's side of the car and mm-hmm. he said, "You just got congratulations." And then he went over to my side and he looked at me and he said, "So, honey, you just got married?" And I said, "Yes." And he said, "And you're eating at a drive-through restaurant?" And I said, "Yes." He said, "Honey, things can only get better." So my billboard is... Things can only get better, and I would add, and you can make it so.
Oh, that's wonderful. That's something good that I needed today. Things can only get better. Thank you. That was really, for me, I would say, audience, it might have been for you and some of you, but I think it was for me today.
Oh, that's perfect.
It's great. It's great. I like that. What would your last meal be?
Well, I've actually thought about this. And it would be, I live in Atlantic Canada. I love lobster and I love corn on the cob.
Mm-hmm,
so
mm-hmm.
lobster with melted butter.
Oh my goodness.
Corn on the cob with melted butter and salt. Very simple.
Very simple.
But delicious.
But delicious, yeah. I think my granddaughter, who's only 6, would agree with you. That meal right there. She loves like seafood, but she says to me, "I don't like to crack it. Someone else can crack it for me."
Yeah.
And she loves corn on the cob, you know. She loves the corn on the cob, you know. So I think she would agree with you. She just said that yesterday. I love it. And I was like, oh, you're saying what she said.
Wow. Connected.
Yes, absolutely. So final thoughts, Sheila. What is the best tip you can share with any woman, any man who's considering going into business, who's considering going to your field, maybe share any of that with our audience today?
Well, I think you and I do similar work in that, mm-hmm. you know, we're independent entrepreneurs, and I've been asked many times by people who want to be a coach.
Right.
And it's quite simple, really. Don't quit your day job right away.
Right.
You know, do a side hustle first, because we're not selling clothing.
Right. We're not.
We're not selling widgets, you know.
Yeah.
We are selling our expertise, mm-hmm. and transformation.
Right.
And one of the marketing people that I admire is named Pamela Bruner.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, she's very clear. This field of coaching and consulting is getting more crowded every day.
Oh, yeah.
You know, when I started 20 years ago, I was a pioneer coach.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, I got to educate people about what it was.
Right.
And I just tell people to, yes, do what you love.
Right.
But it doesn't necessarily mean that the money is going to follow automatically.
Right.
You know, you need to, tap into your sage wisdom about, mm-hmm. what's going to be the best route for you.
Exactly.
And really pay attention to the saboteurs. And
right, exactly.
Again, don't quit. You know, I've had people say, well, I'm making $80,000 a year now, you know, and so I have to make that.
Do you?
Yes. So it's like, okay, just proceed with the wisdom and knowledge,
right.
that it's not as simple as easy, or mm-hmm. easy as going for a weekend seminar.
Right.
To be a coach,
mm-hmm.
and you know, the old marketing used to be all you need is a phone.
Right. No.
And
not
it's
anymore.
Just not true.
No.
It's just not true.
No.
You need a system. You need.
Yep.
You need to work at it.
Yeah.
It's that simple.
Yeah.
Yeah.
It's true. We're selling. I always say we're selling experience,
mm-hmm.
on our side and your side.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
That you experience, mm-hmm. something. And we bring the transformation. We just bring the questions to make, mm-hmm. you experience that. So,
yes.
That brings us to the end of the show. I want to thank my guest today, Sheila Kelly, for being here with us, to sharing us with so much great information. As being the director of the Big Yes Center for Transformation, great information on spirituality. And I want to thank my audience for listening. So if you enjoyed today's show, or this episode today, if you'd like to support the podcast, please share it with others, post it about on social media, leave us a comment. Remember, you can leave us a comment, and if you want to say something to Sheila, oh, we forgot to ask Sheila, how can we find her? So Sheila, how can we find you?
Well, my website, as I mentioned earlier, is www.thebigyes.com. And my email address is Sheila, Sheila, at thebigyes.com.
Well, you've heard it directly from Sheila herself, the information, and we will have it available to you. But if you'd like to leave a message for Sheila, all you have to do is press the message button and leave your voicemail, and I will forward it over to her to give you an answer to your question. This is Edna White on Keeping It Real on Purpose, and you know you can find me all around town, Facebook, Instagram, Twitter, even on LinkedIn at EJW Coaching. Thank you once again for joining us today, and we're signing off. See you next time. Bye for now.
If you're a podcast host, listen up, this one's for you. My name is Allie Jackson. I'm the host of Finding Mr. Height, a dating and relationship podcast that I've been doing for 4 years now, sharing my positive and practical approach to dating that's built on my own life experience. And I wanted to share another experience that I've had, my secret behind monetizing my show. It's called Red Circle. And I was just telling my colleague about how much I love their platform. With Red Circle, not only am I getting a seamless hosting experience, but I also love the support I receive in ad sales. It's not just typical ad sales either. It's targeted opportunities based on my show and my life. And the platform is super simple. You just set your preferences and Red Circle matches you with sponsors that align with your show. You can vet every opportunity and their platform gives you great analytics. More recently too, my Red Circle team has brought me opportunities outside of my podcast on social media to really augment the podcast partnerships, bring them full circle. I just can't recommend them enough. If you want to give it a try, go to redcircle.com to get your free trial. That's redcircle.com for a free trial.